Some time back, I was with some clergy colleagues, and there was one young clergy woman named Sarah who kept railing that in spite of all our talk about the church and all our talk about the work of the church, the world is a mess. And she kept venting that nothing seems to be better, and in many cases, it just simply seems to be worse. And it was like Sarah was downloading Romans 8 and this morning's passage. We know that the whole creation has been moaning together in the pains of labor until now. And not just creation, but we ourselves feel the birth pangs. The bittersweet agony, the tart heartache, the tangy heartbreak of living joyfully in a downbeat world. Our United Methodist Church is on a journey to vitality, and it is a long journey. Your church is on this journey with us, and all throughout the connection, we are being challenged by what it means to fully be the church in today's post-Christian society. Did you know that on any given weekend, less than 20% of people in the U.S. attend worship? We are being pressed to answer the questions of why church and why Christian, why the gospel. There's this commercial that's on TV now, and it caught my attention because there's this gentleman who actually, he just had his first child. And as a result of having his first child, he decides to stop smoking. And so, of course, they're advertising, I don't know, whatever you take to stop smoking. I don't know what that is. But in that commercial, he takes that. And I love that last part of that commercial because it says every good why needs a how. Every good why needs a how. And you know, and I think about that question, and for us, it's like, what is our why? On our journey, that's the question we've been asking, and that's the question I've been asking myself, why? Why Jesus for me? Our mission as the Christian church, the Church of Christ, is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. But you know, for me, it is that in each of us, every congregation, and each of us individually, we live that out in our own way. And for me, my why is that I know without a shadow of a doubt that God has called me to walk with sleepwalking people when they wake up. Because the most difficult thing you will do when you begin to wake up is to stay awake. Because there are so many things in this world that will cause us to want to go numb and go back to sleep. And the truth of the matter is what it means for us to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We are in the business of calling people from death to life. That is our why. And we are gospel people who exist to call people out of darkness into God's most beautiful light. We are people of grace, God's prevenient grace that goes before us. And even before we can fully claim our why, we have a how. And how we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our why, because before we lay out any vision, before we lay out any strategy, before we lay out any kind of campaign or programs or budget or staffing, we need Jesus Christ. We need the power of the Holy Spirit working in Jesus Christ to help us know who we be so that we know what we do. Our Christian tradition teaches us that in Christ, through Christ, we have received this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. We have received power. And so my question this morning is, how plugged in are you to your power source? Are you plugged in this morning? Yeah. Because see, we have this Holy Spirit who has given us foot-stomping power to place serpents and snakes and scorpions beneath our feet, beneath the doubt and the fear, and everything would keep us and hold us back from being who God has created us to be. But here's my confession this morning. Most days, I don't feel very powerful. In fact, I spend more time than I would like to admit simply trying to stand upright, which leaves me little energy for stomping out anything. But the good news this morning is that God knows this truth, and God is so deeply concerned with me, and God is so deeply concerned with our living down here. God knows the difficulty of what it is to live with a keep your head to the sky mentality. See, the good news is that this Holy Spirit does not just move up, drawing us toward elation. We have a Holy Spirit who comes down. Are you not glad about that today? We have a Holy Spirit who comes down, down deep into the pain and the hardships of our human reality. Are you not glad about that this morning? Amen. Because here we sit here today over 2,000 years from the birth of the church, and we are people who are still waiting. We are still waiting, and we are waiting, and we're waiting, and waiting, and waiting for the world to change. And Paul in this text names creation suffering by comparing it to the groans of a woman in labor, painful cries from the depth of her being between the times. When she does not yet know what the outcome will be, will it be life or will it be death? Creation labors and creation moans. Do you hear it? We can hear creation moaning as the icebergs melt, wondering how long they can bear the weight of the polar bear or the penguin or the otter. The tears of a pregnant pause that sits over the landscape of the Middle East, the Sudan, the Congo, abandoned towns and cities, hungry children, a divided nation, and we sit with the question of, can these dry bones still live? We are so entangled and wrapped up, dependent and interdependent with creation, and we suffer in large and small ways as we wait for the fulfillment of all God's promises. But the good news this morning is that in the midst of all of that, we have a Spirit, God's Spirit, who is still with us. The Spirit who groans and gives voice to our deepest longings. The Spirit who gives the eyes of our hearts the ability to see that which our natural eyes cannot see. I'm so glad Pastor Chris mentioned again that even our enemies are more spiritual. The things that we stand against. And so our spirit, we have the Holy Spirit who bears witness and witness that God is present in the midst of our greatest need, even when we don't have the words to name it. On this journey called life, we are desperately and always in need of help because we were not created to go it alone. That's why I love the church. I love the Christian church. When we are at our best, we are God's sticks in a bundle that are not easily broken. I love that. And when the church is infused with the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside us, the one when we have no words and no ready answers, unable to comprehend a response, we have one who comes alongside. Jesus gifted us with this advocate, this comforter, and in the times when you find yourself, and if you haven't lived long enough, and you will, when you can't quite put words together, and all you can do is rock or keen, and the Holy Spirit takes our groans and breaks them apart and goes beneath our words. Ted Loader, a United Methodist clergy, wrote this poem, and it says, "Listen to me under my words." He says, "Oh God, I come to you now as a child to my mother, out of the cold which numbs and to the warm who cares. Listen to me inside, under my words, where the shivering is, under my words in the fears which freeze my living, under my words in the anger which chafe my attending. God, go under my words in the doubts which chill my hoping. God, go under my words in the events which shrivel my thanking. Lord, go under my words in the pretenses which stiffen my loving." We have a Holy Spirit today who goes under our words to intercede for us, for God, to God who is faithful. And you know what? I pray, and I sometimes wonder if my prayer will get through, but I have no doubt that when the Holy Spirit prays, it hits its mark. See, the Spirit prays for us that we might gain strength to hope. And at the center of this text this morning, I believe there is this message of hope, this hope that is not a pie in the sky optimism that disregards the reality of sin and suffering. This is not a hope that says, don't worry, be happy. God knows that we live in two realities. We live down here and we live up there. And when we find ourselves in the mud of life, we have a spirit, God's spirit, who prays for us. And as I thought about that, what does that mean? Because, you know, sometimes when we think about the Holy Spirit, it seems so nebulous. But my journey, Pastor Chris talked about my background was also business. And I spent 20 years in corporate America. Basically, I spent most of my adult life trying to live within the lines of who people said I was supposed to do. You know how it is. I did all of that. And actually, when God started to stir me, I've been in church most of my life, and I know what it is to be in church, but not really to have a deep connection. I mean, I know how to do church, but I didn't know how to be church deep down on the inside. But God started to get me, and it was on my journey, the longest journey, that journey from my head to my heart, where, you know, I knew how to sing Jesus Loves Me, this I know, but I didn't believe it deep down on the inside. And God started to work some things over in me. And so during that time, I quit my job. And I said to God, I will not make another move until you tell me who I'm supposed to be when I grow up. And I will tell you that it was the most difficult, painful experience of my life. You know, I was thinking about that this morning. Being a DS is a difficult role. It's impossible. But I will tell you, this journey of living into God, tell me who I'm supposed to be when I grow up, it has been the most difficult thing I have ever done in my life. And I will tell you that I went through a pure 8 months of despair. And some of it was about like, God, I'm trying to figure out, you said you give me the desires of my heart. Well, I don't know what the desires of my heart are. I don't know what that is. So can you tell me? And it was going through that place and wondering, and then it's like, Lord, I'm trying to figure this out. And 8 months in, and the Holy Spirit's like, I don't need your help. I got this. And going through that, and there was one point where I found myself in such despair that I knew I needed to pray, but I could not pray. So I picked up the phone and I called my friend Kevin. And all I could get out was, and let me tell you, every last one of us, we need someone who, when you call them, they know how to drop and roll. They know that when you pick up the phone and you say, I need you to pray, they don't ask for explanations. They don't need details. He just dropped and rolled and he prayed. And then he hung up the phone, and I hung up the phone, and I knew I was going to be all right. And it was during that time, a little bit later, still in that despair, and I finally called Kevin again, and I said, Kevin, I've been sitting for 8 months, and it's like there's this knot that just sits in the pit of my stomach. It's just been sitting here, and it just won't move. And Kevin says to me, he says, Cynthia, you're pregnant. He says, you're pregnant with purpose. He says, God's trying to birth something in you. You got to stay on this path because God is doing something in you. And so why do I tell you these stories? You are pregnant. You are pregnant, resurrection. You are pregnant. This Be Our Guest campaign, this is your pregnancy. You don't know what all, it's going to be even more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. You can't fully see it yet. You got the plans. You think you got the plans, but God's going to do even more. You are pregnant. And why do I tell you this story? I tell you this story also that when my friend Sarah asked the question of why does the world not change and what difference does any of our work make, my response to Sarah and my response to you and my response to myself is that when we stand, when we're able to drop and roll for someone, when we're able to point somebody back to Jesus, we are the hands and feet of Christ, and it makes all the difference in the world. It's in these places where we're willing to stand and bear witness. All creation rejoices and shouts hallelujah and amen. You know creation can shout, right? Have you ever seen the trees flutter in the breeze? That's a hallelujah. It's in these places where we find ourselves at critical crossroads, at the intersection between who we've been. But God wants to call us more deeply into who we are and who we yet shall be. It's in these places where the Spirit comes and presents to us the presence of God, God's presence in us and God's presence for us as we live and move and have our being. And as we are the witness of Christ in all the broken places in the world. See, it's in these places where we stand as the hand and feet of God, where the rumor of God becomes a reality of God in Jesus Christ. A while back, I attended this gala for Matter, and Matter is this organization that wants to stamp out food deserts in urban communities and next door and around the world. And it caught my attention as I was listening to one of the speakers, and the speaker mentioned to the donors and the givers and the volunteers, he said that they were action figures. And action figures, he said they were action figures, and it made me think about, you know, Avengers. Anybody into the Avenger series? You know, y'all know them, right? The heroes, right? The superhero team, you know, and they're Iron Man and Black Widow and the Incredible Hulk and Captain America and Thor and Hawkeye. You know, they were pulled together by Nick Fury, the director of an international peacekeeping agency known as SHIELD. And these Avengers were brought together to pull the world back from the brink of disaster. Each Avenger has their own backstory, and they have their own unique skills and gifts and personalities, and there are no two Avengers alike, but they stand together as a team working for good. And so I wonder this morning, we people who've been infused by the Holy Spirit, I wonder what it would be like if we saw ourselves as action figures, uniquely formed and fashioned and gifted and called. Each of us clear that we've been animated and empowered and infused, clear about the source of our power, clear about our why and our how. The reality made real, living and breathing and acting. Because the truth of the matter is, church in Hastings, Minnesota, Resurrection United Methodist Church, you matter. Your work and your ministry, it matters. Your campaign, it's so much more than a building, so much more than new carpet, so much more than a parking lot. It is so much more, because in this place on Sundays and soon to be Saturday evening worship and through your VBS and your community outreach and your recovery ministry, when you open this space to the community and you're here in the community and you're for the community, you cannot, you must not minimize that there are people who enter in and they are clinging to a thread of hope. And sometimes they come in and that thread is raveled. And it has come so unraveled that it is down to the last fiber. And they come into this place and they deeply need to see in you that Jesus is alive and Jesus is real and Jesus loves them. This they know. And when they see you and when you bear witness as God's people, as God's action figures, you restore them to hope. Did you not know this morning that you're a hope mongers? That's what you are. You are peacekeepers and you are hope mongers. And the work that we do in a world where all creation groans, we are the ones who points people to the living word. The word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We are the ones who point people to the one who can transform lives, who can take a before story and turn it into an after story, who can take the mess of our lives and turn it into a message. That's who we are. And so we give God praise today for the very Spirit of God that is in us, working for us, working through us, even in the midst of our waiting. Amen and hallelujah.